Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed. Basically, because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote unquote, me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start a scene in the middle of the masquerade ball. Tamarus grabs the crystal ruby rod of Asmodeus and suddenly finds himself far away. He is in the throne room of Nessus in the palace of the ruler of the Nine Hell. Ahead of him is three thrones. In one sits Asmodeus. In the second sits a figure whose robes block his visage. And in the third sits Caleb.
Tamarus gasps, his eyes wide with disbelief as he takes in his surroundings, the sight before him incomprehensible and impossible. This is madness.
What do we have here, another tiefling? This one thinks of himself as noble, would do anything for love.
Yes, but he doesn't yet know his own strength. But I am not sure I can trust one who pulls their power from the stars.
The robed figure says nothing. You can feel his eyes bore a hole inside of you, as he is trying to determine whether you are worthy of what you now possess.
What's happened now? The party has turned into a bloody battlefield and everyone is screaming.
Ha! You don't need to worry about that anymore. You can summon an army of devils to defend you. No demonic horde can stop you now.
Tamarus looks at Asmodeus with an incredulous expression, unable to believe what he's hearing, an army of devils. That is the last thing I want. We came here seeking the truth, not to wage war in a battle that is none of our making.
The robed figure continues to stare into Tamarus's soul.
Are you one to fight your own battles, then? Can you feel the power you now hold in your hand, warlock?
I am a warlock, yes. But this power, this responsibility is more than I can fully comprehend. I am a being of order, of balance. I cannot begin to understand what sort of chaos this power may bring about in the multiverse.
Asmodeus leaps up from his throne and lunges at Tamarus. This is not a weapon of chaos. It is a weapon of order. By your hand, you can establish the hierarchy of the Nine Hells. You can be a ruler. They will all bow down to you.
Tamarus cringes at Asmodeus' words and moves away from him, shaking his head vehemently. No, this is not what I am meant to be. This is not who I want to be. His voice shakes with emotion, barely able to contain the horror and dread that threatens to consume him as he realizes the power that is in his grasp.
The Lamian guards move towards Tamarus as he remains standing in the place where he first grabbed the rod unmoving.
Tamarus, please, we must leave now. I cannot hold them back forever. Ilara grits her teeth, her voice filled with frustration and worry. Tamarus, move! She shouts, pointing to the door. They're coming for you. You must protect the rod.
For the moment, Tamarus is back at the party.
Tamarus whirls around, his eyes widening in shock and fear as he sees Ilara and Mistweaver Ilara. I didn't expect to be here so quickly.
Ilara shakes her head in disbelief, her voice filled with shock and concern. What happened, Tamarus? I thought we had it, but now...
The Lamian guard lunges at Tamarus, pitchfork in hand.
Tamarus tries to dodge out of the way, his eyes widening with panic, as he realizes how quickly the situation is spiraling out of control.
Mistweaver pounces on the guard, her sharp teeth and claws causing them to yelp and pull back.
Ilara nods, her eyes filled with determination and resolve. Well, it seems we're going to have to make some more choices, and fast. She glances towards the exit. Shall we?
The Lamian guard shakes her hand, throwing Mistweaver across the room as Tamarus and Ilara run to the door.
He has all of the power he needs in his hand, yet he does not use it.
Tamara shouts in response, his voice filled with frustration and anguish, No. It's not power that I want. I'm not some sort of tyrant, ruler over the nine hells. I don't want that responsibility. I want to leave it behind.
And what do you think would happen if you left that in the hands of a demon lord like Drazstadt? That was a mistake I made when I cast it out of the nine hells.
I will not allow anyone else to fall to the temptations of the abyss. It will be cast into oblivion, away from those who would misuse it.
Yes, because you can't trust yourself with that power. How are you going to defeat a god if you can't even use your most powerful tool?
Tamara's voice shakes with emotion as he grits his teeth. His fists clench tightly as he thinks of Off. The power he now holds in his hand. The weight of the responsibility. The temptation of the chaos. The potential destruction. Because I will not let it fall into the wrong hands. It was cast out for a reason. It will be cast into oblivion so that it cannot be misused by anyone.
I cast it out because with it the devils would always be coming for me, for it. I realized that the demons would never form an army to destroy the heavens. They are too chaotic to work together. Instead, I turned my attention to a much bigger threat, one my brother fell to.
Your brother fell to it because he thought he was strong enough. And that was a mistake, one that we can learn from.
No, Tamarus, my brother fell to the far realm, the realm you draw your power from. The old stars you feel, that is their power. You can't trust the old gods.
That was your brother's fault, his choices. I can't make those same mistakes. The old stars that power calls to me, I trust it. The power of the far realm is pure, true.
Caleb grabs Tamarus and shows him the truth of the far realm, the realm of madness. He shows Tamarus the hive mind, the illithid army, the creatures warped by the dark energy. You think the power of the nine hells is impure. This is the power you are aligned with.
Tamarus shudders, his face twisted with a mix of shock and revulsion, as he watches the chaos unfold before his eyes. I can see now. The far realm is twisted, corrupt. That is not the power that I thought I could trust.
The robed figure stands up, and Caleb and Asmodeus are gone.
Where did they go? Who is this figure in the robes?
I am one who existed long ago, but relinquished my throne.
One who exists beyond time? He asks incredulously, his mind reeling with the implications of such an idea, a being who existed in a realm far beyond the mortal coil.
When you look at the rod, what do you see?
Tamarus gazes down at the crystal ruby rod in his hand, his thoughts a mix of awe and despair as he realizes the magnitude of the power he holds there. A symbol, a key to unlock great mysteries and a weapon to strike down the darkness. I also see how it could consume us all if we're not careful. And I see my own soul trapped within the depths of this twisted artifact.
Do you know of the silver cord that binds all souls to the astral sea?
I have heard tales of a silver cord that is said to be the divine leash by which fate keeps all souls tethered to the material realm, no matter where our spirits may wander. His voice trails off, lost in thought, as he recalls the words from ancient stories and myths.
What you don't know is that some beings have a different cord, one that is tethered to the far realm, beings that were made by the far realm as agents or spies, ones who don't even know that is what they are.
Tamarus gasps softly, a wave of realization washing over him as he processes the information. That's why the power of the far realm has always called to me, hasn't it? Because deep down I was made for a purpose I could never understand.
Yes, Tamarus, you are one of those whose soul is not meant to go to the astral sea, but one who is meant to feed the hive mind of the far realm.
No, he shouts, his voice trembling with emotion and desperation. That cannot be true. I am not meant to feed into a dark and twisted realm like that. I am meant for a greater purpose.
That is why you felt such a kinship to the fallen star. It really is a part of you.
A fallen star? A part of me? No, this cannot be. This darkness inside of me, it is a corruption, an illusion. Something twisted and unnatural. Something that has been feeding off my insecurities and doubts.
With that rod in hand, you can change your destiny. You can choose to sever that connection and let yourself be cast into the void.
The void? Is that where you came from, your fate? Tamaru's voice is filled with a mix of fear and hope as he contemplates what the robed figure is offering him.
You will be lost for a time, but I have to ask you. Do you trust Ilara to find you?
Trust Ilara? Yes, I do, he murmurs, his heart still filled with the love and affection he holds for the wizardess, who has been his partner, friend, and lover throughout their adventures together.
When you leave this place, take the rod in your hand. Summon its strength. Caleb left a weakness in the far realm when he defeated it, one of Hellfire. The fire will consume you, but the far realm will recoil and let you go.
Then, I shall take your advice and let myself be consumed by the infernal flame of the nine hells. He nods, determination shining in his eyes as he grips the crystal ruby rod tightly in his hand, his resolve to face whatever destiny lies ahead unbreakable. I trust Ilara's strength and guidance to guide us through this journey.
Tamaros, you find yourself back in the party, in a back room of the Argent Palace. The masquerade is talking with Ilara. You seem to have been placed in a chair.
Tamaros has a choice to make. Three souls are bound to that rod. One who will offer him power, for that is all he knew. One will offer him knowledge, for he saw the folly of power. And the last will offer him guidance.
Mistweaver jumps down and walks up to Tamaros and starts licking his hand. Come on, Tamaros. Time to get back on track. She whispers in her cat voice. You have to take care of the little ball of light inside of you.
Ilara pours her heart out as she speaks. Tamaros, if it weren't for you, if we weren't together. She shakes her head, tears beginning to flow down her cheeks as she reflects on the incredible bond that has forged between them over the course of their adventures together. I would have lost myself completely long ago, and without you by my side, guiding and supporting me, I would have been lost to the darkness.
Tamaros looks deep into her emerald eyes, his own eyes brimming with tears of his own, as he thinks of how much she has meant to him throughout his life. Ilara, my love, how could I ever abandon you, when your presence alone is the very light that guides me through the darkest of nights? You are the soul to my heart, the sun to my sky, the rain to my parched soil. His voice trembles with a mixture of fear and determination as he takes a deep breath, and in that moment of silence, he chooses his path, the one that he believes will bring them together again. No matter what challenges lie ahead, my love, farewell. May our fates entwine, even if the worlds should fall apart. He whispers softly as a warm smile graces his lips, even as his heart feels like it's being ripped apart from the very core of his being. As the flame erupts around him, consuming his form completely in a sea of fire that blazes with an intensity that seems to surpass the very power of the nine hells themselves, he holds out the crystal ruby rod high above his head, his eyes clenched shut tightly, as he feels the infernal flames searing through every fiber of his being.
The fires fully engulf Tamaros. A moment later, all that is left is the vorpal blade and the rod.
Ilara feels the warmth of her tears upon her cheeks, a testament to the depth of the emotions that churn within her very core. She kneels down before the remains, the silence around them, broken only by the gentle sobs that escape her lips.
Take the rod, dear.
Mistweaver pads up to the pair, gazing up at Ilara with a deep, searching look in her cat-like eyes before rubbing her head gently against the woman's leg.
Ilara hesitates for a moment before reaching down to pick up the crystal ruby rod, the warmth of its presence comforting to her as she holds it tightly against her breast, a reminder of all that Tamaros was, all that he meant to her, and all that she could still achieve with his help in the battles that were to come.
Ilara finds herself in Nessus, in the throne room of the Nine Hells. Sitting in three thrones across from her are three figures. Asmodeus, a figure cloaked in robes, and Caleb.
Elara gasps as she takes in her surroundings, her eyes wide with shock and disbelief.
Welcome, Archmage. Do you feel the power you now grasp?
Power? Power of what? Of chaos? Destruction? No. Asmodeus, power for good, for those in need.
Power of perfect order. Power to rule the cosmos. Power to take your rightful place on this throne.
My rightful place? I have no desire for such things.
Then what do you desire? Surely we can make a deal.
Shakes head no deals. No promises of power, riches, or control.
Caleb walks forward. What do you see when you look upon me?
Elara looks upon him in wonder, marveling at his otherworldly appearance as he speaks a guardian, a hero, or one who has braved the depths of despair to keep those who dare to dream, to hope.
When I came to the Nine Hells, I was looking to rule.
Whoa.
I looked on Asmodeus and the ruby rod as one would a mountain to climb. It was the pinnacle, one that would see all of the Nine Hells bending a knee to me.
Elara shakes her head in disbelief. I can't believe what I'm hearing. All of these powerful beings. And here we are, standing amidst their twisted machinations.
What a fool I was.
A fool? To think that you, one of the most powerful beings of all the Nine Hells, could be swayed by the hunger for more power? I knew the moment we first met, you were destined to be more than just another ruler in this damned place.
Ha! I was not one of the most powerful beings. I was a tiefling who was plotting his own future. I wasn't a god then. I was just a mortal.
Regardless of what you were in the beginning, it's what you became in the end that truly matters. To look past your own desires for power, to embrace the truth of your own destiny, and to stand for what is good, that's what makes you, you.
I too was one of prophecy like you and Tamaros. There was a prophecy about my birth. It said I would attain great power. It was the power I coveted. But you see, I also had a twin brother, one with the same potential as me.
That explains why. Why you came to the Nine Hells.
And why my twin brother, Thomas, came to it as well. Unfortunately, he took every opportunity to gain that power, including power that Hadar offered him.
Her face is filled with an unreadable mixture of confusion, horror, and disgust.
Hadar is one of the Elder Evil, beings of immense power, but also beings of madness. They are not even chaotic, they just are. Their nature transforms everything it touches, warping it to an unnatural, aberrant version of themselves.
And your dear brother, Thomas, was consumed by Hadar. It seems he had the same desire for power and control.
Yes, and using his link to the Nine Hells, Hadar attempted to invade the Nine Hells. He laid siege to Avernus and killed its ruler before trying to descend to the city of Dis.
I can barely comprehend what I am hearing.
For you, it is myth and legends. For me, it is a memory.
She looks down at the rod, at the power that is pulsing within it, and shudders. A great weight rests upon her shoulders now. With Tamaris gone, there is only her and Caleb, and with the rod in her hands, a great power awaits her. But what is that power for? The weight of it crushes her down into her seat. She is lost for words.
Dispater, though, he turned the power of the Nine Hells on the far realm. He purged the top two planes of all life and managed to take back the plane, but the connection to the far realm was complete, and our universe was now at risk.
Elara gasps at Caleb, her mind whirring in disbelief as she attempts to comprehend the magnitude of the events he is recounting. A world where all life is stripped away. An entire universe at risk of falling to ruin? She shakes her head in dismay, her eyes widening with fear as she realizes the enormity of what he is telling her.
Caleb walks forward and shows her where the crystals of the living gate are still embedded in his skin. With that act, I saw a weakness that could be exploited. One that could yet save our universe. There are three rivers that flow in the nine hells. Dispater used the one of hellfire to purge the plain. There was another one, Lethe, which if one drinks of the waters will make them forget.
Ilara gazes into the depths of Caleb's eyes, her heart aching with a mix of horror and admiration for the strength of spirit he possesses, even amidst the face of such incredible destruction.
That was the weakness we could exploit. I was aided by a pair of gods, and Xerthimon we journeyed into the far realm. We used the crystals of the living gate to resist the effects of the far realm. There we found my brother and traveled into the very heart of madness, the mind of the far realm.
A single mind? But how does one...
It is a single shared mind. All of the far realm share one. All knowledge flows back to the far realm and empowers it. That knowledge is what it feeds on. Isangs, what it feeds on.
Then why? Why didn't he consume us as well?
There I used my own brother's connection with the far realm and made him drink of the waters. The mind of the far realm was shattered. It forgot about us.
That's why he was the one that was chosen.
I doubt Hadar realized the folly of his actions choosing my brother.
Ilara smiles wryly, her eyes filled with a mix of sorrow and wonder at the incredible tale that Caleb is recounting to her, a tale of power, sacrifice, and the triumph of will over even the darkest of forces.
That was when I left the rod behind. I realized that there was a greater threat out there, and now I aim to protect the world with my power from that threat.
Ilara grips the crystal ruby rod tightly in her hand, her heart swelling with renewed determination and resolve as she realizes the immense power that is now hers to wield, a power that could potentially change the course of history itself.
And that is why Tamarus destroyed himself. He too was bound to the far realm, although he never knew that. He was a pawn of its mind. A spy trying to recapture lost memories.
Ilara shakes her head slowly, her lips pressed tightly together as she struggles to absorb all of the information and implications of what Caleb has just told her.
The connection has been severed and now his soul is boundless. It is free from the far realm's grasp, but it is also not tethered to the astral sea. You alone have the power to find him.
Ilara's eyes widen, a gasp escaping her lips as she takes in the enormity of what the robed figure has just revealed to her. The true fate of Tamarus, a soul that is not bound by the confines of time or space, one that she alone can find. Her heart aches with a newfound understanding of the depth of their love and the strength of her own power. How do I find him?
The two of your souls are bound together in this prophecy. He severed his connection to the far realm, to the astral sea, to the material plane, but he can't sever it to you.
Ilara nods slowly, a new understanding beginning to dawn in her eyes as she contemplates the implications of what she has been told.
You will now be faced with a choice. Your friends have a plan for Corellon, one that can work, to trick his avatar into sigil, to have the Lady of Pain destroy it. But with that rod, you have the power to fight it yourself. It will be a great risk, but if you can do that, then you will have the power to bring Tamarus back.
Her eyes widen, a gasp escaping her lips as she considers the implications of what the robed figure has just told her. The sheer magnitude of the power that is now at her fingertips, and the potential to save her beloved Tamaris from an eternal fate of solitude in the void.
Be warned, however, to do so will be to claim the rod for yourself. All of the 9 hells will then want to kill you and take it back.
Her expression becomes a mix of determination and trepidation, her heart swelling with both love and fear as she realizes the weight of the responsibility and the danger that awaits her.
The choice is yours to make alone.
Alara finds herself back in the reading room of the Argent Palace. A cup of tea sits in front of her. The masquerade sits across from her with Mistweaver purring in her lap.
Alara grips the crystal ruby rod tightly in her hand, her eyes brimming with tears as she reflects on all that has transpired, the sacrifices that have been made, the choices that have been forced upon them, and the ultimate burden of power that now rests upon her own shoulders.
Mistweaver drinks from the cup, then pushes it back towards Alara.
You seem more at ease with that now, my dear.
I am, I believe. A new road lays before me, a path that leads me to Tamaris, and perhaps the salvation of all. But it is a path that will be fraught with peril and uncertainty.
And it is one that will change you, my human. You have been chosen for a purpose great.
Life changes all that it touches. Change is not necessarily something to be feared.
You speak truth, dear masquerade. But fear is not the only emotion that stirs within my heart as I step into this new destiny. There is also love. A love that burns brighter than any other. A love that drives me forward, despite all odds.
I am done here, then. I owed a debt to a friend, and now the debt is paid. I will warn you, however. Caleb's actions were not ones of altruism. You claiming that rod means he is free from the burden of ruling the 9 hells, so he can focus on the far realm. This is him relinquishing his throne. If the 9 hells descend into chaos, then all of the heavens are at risk.
Alara nods slowly, a pensive look settling upon her face as she considers the implications of the masquerade's words. Thank you for everything, for your help and guidance.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.